Jude chapter number, you know, verse number 20. Amen. Verse number 20. It starts, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." I think I'm missing something. Is this "now unto him"? Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. If that's correct, amen. I tried to commit that to memory years ago. I want to, and I'm going to need your help, some of y'all that take notes, because I don't have all my notes in front of me. I just have the notes that kind of that I'm looking at tonight and in the remainder of the message. But we're talking about the fire, pulling them out or pushing them in. And we talked about how there's no neutral ground, but we pull them out of the fire by multiplying. We push them in by dividing. I remember that's how the message got started. And then we pull them out by contending, earnestly contending for the faith. We push them in by compromising. I remember that part. Then we pull them out by remembering. We talk about this judgment that come upon the angels, come upon the apostates. We pull them out by remembering, push them in by forgetting. And then, oh, I know what it was. Last time we were together on this message, it was we pull them out by building up, and we push them in by tearing down. The Bible said, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And so tonight, what we want to do is begin looking in verse number 22. I don't know how far we'll get. We may get finished with the message tonight, but we're just going to dive in here and go as far as we can. But tonight, the fifth thing in the message, we pull them out by having compassion, and we push them in by being complacent. The Bible said, "And of some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Someone said years ago, I remember this as a definition of compassion, that compassion is love in action. And really, real love is an action. It's more than just an emotion. But the love that the Bible speaks of, I believe that was the agape love, is that love that God gives one for another. And I want to think about some things tonight as we talk about this compassion. And of course, it should ring a bell about our visitation, caring and compelling with compassion. The Word of God said, speaking the truth in love. This week, I got a phone call, and it was about a pastor, and he had said something, and I reckon maybe it had offended someone a little bit, and I was in a discussion with a young man, and it came up that sometimes you can say the right thing, but say it in the wrong spirit. You can say something that's true sometimes, and yet it be in the wrong spirit. Would all the wives say amen right there? Amen. I just gave you an opportunity. Listen, men are good at that. Say amen. And a pastor or a preacher is not exempt from that, from getting in what we call the flesh. In other words, he might be saying something that's scripturally correct, that's absolutely true, but the Bible talks about compassion, speaking the truth in love. And what I'd like to look at tonight, first of all, is just a little bit into 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you turn there with me tonight, I believe this would be a good place kind of to take off. The Word of God, at one time, and I don't say this boastfully, but at one time I could quote the whole chapter. And it's a precious chapter in the Word of God.
1 Corinthians chapter number 13. It's called the love chapter, the charity chapter. And I want to look at just a few verses right here together tonight. I'm having trouble getting it, the pages separated here for some reason. Okay. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And so Paul is talking about, he said, I could speak eloquently. I could have the right words. But he said, if my heart, if it's not out of love and out of compassion, he said, then it's just like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. He said, I could have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Now, I'll just say this. The Apostle Paul is one that could write this because God revealed unto him the mystery of the gospel. God revealed unto him the mystery of the church. And beloved, the Bible said here, I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity. Somebody tell me what those next three words say. Nothing. Now listen to me. Oh, glory to God. It got good right there. I just now remembered what Jesus said. He said, without me, you can do nothing. I've never looked at it in this context before, but who is love? God is love. Who is God? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. And beloved, listen, when Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing, I never had really looked at it like that before, but really, that's what Paul is saying right here. Without him, where there's no love, and without love, he said, you can do everything else, but it won't amount to a hill of beans. It won't amount to nothing. And reminds me, Brother Cole, I watched, and I'll just go ahead and tell the church, God willing, I'm going to be getting in touch with Brother Robert Gibson before too long. Brother Robert spent 30 years in prison, and Brushy Mountain is where he spent the 30 years in prison. And Rock of Ages had a chaplain down there, Brother Donnie Moore. And Brother Donnie and I always got along really, really well. I was in that revival one time when my anniversary came up. And I said, Brother Donnie, what if I just do you a real good job today and preach today? And I said, what if you just turn me loose, let me go home tonight? It's my anniversary. I had to drive about 3 hours home, about 3 hours back the next morning, but praise God, it is worth it. Amen. I mean, just to see Miss Eve, when she came in, she didn't know I was there. She found a big bunch of flowers on the back porch. And she thought, oh, how nice. He sent me some flowers. But she didn't know I was in the house. I parked my car up in the shop and hid it. Amen. And when she came in the bedroom, I just come out behind the door and said, hello, darling. Amen. Glad she didn't have her gun loaded. Amen. I might have been a darling with a hole in me. Amen. Scared her to death. Brother Donnie and I got along real good. And Brother Donnie, 8 years, would go by and see this man and say, boy, I'm praying for you. Lord loves you. I'm praying for you. 8 years. And I'm telling you, I got to hear that man on YouTube the other night preach. And I believe God wants him to come to our church and share his testimony. I'm telling you, God turned his life around. You say, preacher, why'd you mention that in this message? Somebody had compassion. Somebody didn't just say, I love you, and go away and forget about you. Somebody just kept coming back. Boy, I'm glad for a Holy Ghost that just kept coming back in my life. I'm glad the Lord didn't leave me to myself. Amen. He just kept coming back and coming back and coming back. And finally, I got saved by the grace of God. Now, tonight, the Bible said here in verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, beloved, it's good to give. Though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. I'm not going to preach the whole chapter tonight. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity. I want to say something tonight. I believe if you're doctrinally wrong, you're just wrong. But I believe there's a lot going on in this world that is doctrinally right that needs a baptism of the love of God. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, when we're speaking to someone about their soul or we're trying to make a difference in that life, I believe it needs to be saturated. How many can remember somebody in your life like that? They were just dripping with the love of God.
and seemed like they spent time in prayer. It seemed like they were sensitive to the Lord. By the way, I learned something this time, studying this passage. I thought I knew exactly what was being said right here. And I'm not saying that I'm wrong about that, but when it says of some have compassion, making a difference, I believe when we have compassion on others, it does make a difference in others' lives. How many believes that? But listen, I believe there's another meaning. When you think about all of this apostasy that's being exposed in the book of Jude, I believe when it says, and of some have compassion and making a difference, others saved with fear, I believe that what the Bible is teaching is another aspect, that you have to deal with different people different ways. In other words, beloved, if I'd hate to ever think this would happen, but if somebody would come in here in this pulpit and be standing up here and preaching something that's contrary to the Word of God, you might not think your pastor, when he stands up, is full of the Holy Ghost. Amen? But I might have to deal with that. How many knows what I'm talking about? And beloved, Jude realizes there's leaders in this mess right here. And they can't be dealt with kids' gloves, so to speak. Amen? They need to be hit right between the eyes with the truth of the Word of God. And so you can't deal with everybody the same way. I've said this for years in soul winning. You might have to start with somebody in Romans, but somebody you might have to start with them in Genesis. I'm running into people that don't know who Adam and Eve are, amen, and don't know how in the world we got in the mess we're in this world. And you can start back over there with them and talk about how God created the heavens and the earth. And God made a man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And God let that man choose. And that man chose to rebel against God in the garden and plunge the human race into sin. But you got to have compassion and teach people the Word of God. It'll make a difference. Go over with me to 2 Kings tonight. I'm trying to get somewhere. Amen. But I believe this is good. Go over with me, if you will, to 2 Kings tonight. And let me read some Bible over here in the book of 2 Kings. I know you know the story, but I think it would be a good refresher. I think it fits right here tonight. 2 Kings. Well, there it is. It hid behind my handkerchief. I mean, my wallet, my handkerchief was hiding from me. Amen. 2 Kings, what did I say? Chapter 7. Excuse me. Chapter 7. 2 Kings, chapter 7. I want to read a little bit here tonight in the Word of God. And God's been dealing my heart for the last few days about that scripture over there. You remember when Saul, they come back in and they spared some of those lives and spared some of those cattle and all that. You remember that, don't you? God's been dealing my heart, excuse me, about that scripture. And I don't know when that's going to come out of me, but it's going to come out for too long. Look here in 2 Kings chapter number 7. Then Elisha said, he said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, in the gate of Samaria." You need to realize now that there's a famine in the land. Amen. And Elijah's is telling them, or Elisha's telling them rather, that tomorrow there's going to be plenty of meal. There's going to be plenty of barley, and you'll be able to buy it cheap. And the Word of God said in verse number 2, "Then the Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." Kind of sounds like what God told Moses when Moses smote that rock a second time. He said, "You're going to be able to look over into the land, Moses, but you're not going." And here this Lord, upon whom the king leaned, he didn't believe God. That's what it amounts to. Amen. He said, "Well, if God was to open the windows of heaven, might this thing be?" He didn't believe God. He said, "Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just let you see it, but you ain't going to eat none of it." And it's going to happen in the chapter. But I want you to see what's going to happen. You're going to say, "Preacher, how is this going to tie in
with having compassion. You'll see in just a moment. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. Leprosy in the Bible is a type of what?
Sin.
That's exactly right. There were four leprous men at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city. We shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also." In other words, what difference does it make? Why do we just want to sit here and die? "Now therefore come and let us fall unto the hosts of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we'll live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." In other words, we're going to die anyway. And they rose up in the twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. But somebody got there before they did. And when, excuse me, amen. "And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the hosts of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, 'Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us.' Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and they left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, and they did eat and drink." Can y'all just imagine this for just a moment? They went into a tent, and there's plenty. Amen? They just begin to eat, and they begin to drink. Then they said, "Well, we might as well just fill our pockets up," so they carry out the silver and the gold and the raiment, and they went and hid it. Y'all forgive me. But when I read this last night, it was way up. It was after midnight. I was reading through this text, and it reminded me of a ground squirrel. How many's ever seen a ground squirrel in the woods? They go over and get them a nut, Brother Rick, and they'll pick up that nut. And sometimes they'll eat a nut, but more times than not, they go bury that nut somewhere else. Amen? They're getting ready for another day. Hallelujah. And so they took some of his stuff and they hid it, the Word of God said. And the lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp. They went in one tent, they ate and drank, carried the silver and the gold. They went and hid it, came again, entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. They're busy, buddy. I'm telling you what's the truth. They got their belly full. They got their pockets full. And they're putting it in the bank somewhere. I don't know what bank they're putting it in, but they're hiding it. Amen. They're burying it over there and hiding it out. And then said they one to another, they realized, watch this now, right in the middle of all this activity, right in the middle of all this praise and this celebrating, amen, we got something to eat. And thank God we don't just have something to eat today. We've got something to eat tomorrow. And we got some gold and some silver to buy something to eat for a long time out there in the future. We've got something to wear. We've got garments to put on. Now watch this. Then said they one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings. I'll tell you something. Listen to me. There, the Word of God said over there in the book of Psalms, I'm not sure what the location and address is, said this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm telling you, beloved, the Bible talked about, I'll look at a text after a while, sufficient to the day. Beloved, listen, we're not supposed to be thinking so much about tomorrow and tomorrow, but we ought to be praising God for today, amen, and the day that he's given us, and our daily bread, and clothes on our back, amen, and the Word of God teaching, be content with what things we have. All I'm saying is, beloved, listen, they said, we do not well. This is a day of good tidings, and we, excuse me, hold our peace. Think about that. Beloved, let me tell you something right now. If the Church of the Living God's ever been guilty of anything, we're good and guilty of this, holding our peace. Say amen. Oh, we've run into something, beloved, when we run into Calvary. We run into the blood of Jesus. We've run into something more precious than the gold of this world, more precious than the clothes on our back, more precious than the food on our table. And we're guilty of holding our peace while the world is dying without God and going to hell. Beloved, we ought to be speaking up. That's what the Bible meant when it said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. I'm going to tell you something tonight. It's one thing to preach there's a hell, and it's another thing to live your life like there's a hell. It's one thing, beloved, to believe there's a hell, and it's another thing to live your life like you, that person sitting next to you, my friend, is going to hell without God. Beloved, we need to do like these lepers here. We need to wake up and say, you know what? We're taking care of our own, taking care of our family, taking care of our belly. But there's others that need to hear this good news. There's others that need to know that God's blessed us the way that He has. The Word of God said here, we hold our peace if we tarry till the morning light. Some mischief will come upon us. Coulter, they got a good dose of the fear of God in them. They said, this ain't right. We're going to have to do something different than what we're doing right now. And there's more to it than just stacking it up for us. It needs to be shared with others. Amen. Beloved, I believe that tonight. I believe that God has called on a group of people to let their light shine till Jesus comes. To not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. The Word of God said here, they said one to another, we do not well. This day is the day of good tidings. We hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. You know, if you'll read the book of Acts, I think it's over, maybe about Acts chapter number 8, but somewhere in there it says, go, stand, and speak. And I believe that still fits the church today. I believe Jesus said, go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel to every creature. Amen. I believe with all my heart we need to remember the first two letters in the gospel are the letters G-O. Go, amen. Go with the gospel. Colter, you're going to go with the gospel. And you're going to come back with sheaves. That's what happens, brother, when you go with the gospel. That's what happens. Notice what the Bible said here. I'm sorry tonight if you can't understand how excited I got looking at this. Of some have compassion. They said, we better go tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city. And they told him, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians. Behold, there was no man there, neither the voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied and the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done. Listen, the king still don't believe it. He thinks they've set a trap. That's exactly what he thinks. He said, boy, they're just hiding in the bushes somewhere. And when we get up and go down there, we're going to get it. Watch what he said. I'll now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry. Therefore, they've gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. And one of his servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, 5 of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are all in the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed. Let us send and see. They took therefore 2 chariot horses. And the king sent therefore the host of the Syrians after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. They went after them into Jordan. And lo, all the way, all the way. Sounds to me like the book of Ruth, handfuls of purpose. All the way, beloved, the garments and the vessels which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. The messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. You know what these people found out? They found out that God's word coming out of the mouth of God's man was just like God said it was. Amen. By this time tomorrow, and the king appointed the Lord in whose hand he had leaned upon to have the charge of the gate, And the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, and 1 measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. That Lord answered the man of God and said, Now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. So it fell unto him, for the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died. He said, Preacher, I don't know what this story's got to do with us. Let me just lay it out for you tonight. How many of you are saved by the good grace of God? I'm talking about washed in the blood, heaven bound, born again, heaven bound with the hammer down. How many believes that tonight? All right, now let me ask you this. How many believes this? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'm not fussing. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. Even pastors got to be careful, or his passion for souls won't be what it once was. There's a whole lot in this world trying to cool us off. We need a revival. We need a God to set us on fire. John Dockery, we need to get up in the morning and say, if we keep this to ourselves, we do not well. There's men and women, boys and girls, dying all around us without God. And we've got the light. We've got the hope of the world. His name is Jesus. The world don't know what you and I know. The world don't know what you and I have found. I like the song. Brother Ralph, you've probably seen it or heard it or sung it. I found a treasure when I found Jesus. I know that might not be exactly right. I know what it means. I wasn't looking for him. He is looking for me. But I tell you what, when he come looking for me, I went to looking for him. That's the only way you can find him. That's why the Bible said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. Oh, thank God. God uses people that have the Holy Ghost living in them to draw men and women, boys and girls, unto himself. Well, beloved, tonight, let me just share one more little thing with you. We'll quit right here. I'm out of gas. I appreciate the Lord. I want to be, Brother Steve, I want to be a better soul winner. We do not well if we keep this to ourselves. We do not well. I long for the day when there's more shouting in the church. But I tell you, there needs to be some shouting on the job. There needs to be some shouting in the world. There needs to be some weeping in the church. And there needs to be some weeping in the world. We need the Lord to help us. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, please. Now close with this. I had a couple more passages. I may just kind of give them to you. And if some have compassion, making a difference. I believe one of the first things we need to learn in dealing with people is how to listen. I believe if we'll listen to them just a few minutes, they'll reveal something that'll let us know where we can start with them. Amen. Or let me just say this, even if we can start with them. There's some people, beloved, you just, Brother Steve, when they shut a door in your face or they tell you to mind your own business, I know Brother Brian picked up on this. The reason I know he picked up on it years ago is because he repeats it a lot. He said, Pastor taught us, if we can't win them, leave the door open so somebody else can. Don't be rude. Don't try to shove it down their throat. But love them. Amen. Love them. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, please, for just a moment. Man, I can leave here and not say it's been good to be here. What about you? 1 Corinthians tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19. Remember what I was talking about a while ago about being sensitive to the Lord and the Holy Spirit as to how to talk to someone or how to treat someone. One man might need to be talked to sternly. Another man might need to be talked to softly. How many knows what I'm talking about? There's a difference, amen? There's a difference. Now watch. Watch this. This, I think, paints a good picture of what I'm talking about. In verse 19 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." Paul said he made himself. Now the Bible said over there, "Ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost," right? Keep yourselves in the love of God. Here, the Apostle Paul didn't say that God made me a servant unto all. He said, "I made myself a servant unto all." 2 Corinthians 4, 5. "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake." Now listen, what the Bible said here. "And unto the Jews I became as a Jew." Paul was a Jew, you know that. "That I might gain the Jews. And to them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law." Brother John, he's not a chameleon. He's not a compromiser. He's trying to start with people where they are. I watched an interview the other night, and I believe now, I'm not positive about this. I don't know if I'd know the man's face if I saw it, but I believe it was John MacArthur and Ben Shapiro. And Ben Shapiro is a Jew, a practicing Jew. And, of course, John MacArthur's a pastor, and he's coming at it from a Christian angle. But those two men sat there and had a discussion back and forth, I believe, that pleases the Lord. It wasn't like, "Well, you're an idiot," you know what I mean? And, or, "You're an idiot." And that pastor was honestly doing just exactly what Paul's doing right here. He was starting with that man where he was and taking him back to the gospel of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 53. Amen. Took him right on back there and showed him that suffering servant, that Lamb of God that John said would take away the sin of the world. But watch this now. He said, "To them that are without the law is without the law." I've done messed up. It's 2 minutes after 8. "As without the law, being not without the law of God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law." I love this. He said, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. And I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." I believe there's a picture right there of what Jude is talking about when he said, "And of some, have compassion," making a difference. Watch this now. And he said, "This I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you." I've said enough, ain't I? Has God spoke to anybody else's heart tonight besides mine? Amen. We said on this that we have. We do not well. We keep this to ourselves. You know, we talked Sunday, I think Brother Don led us in that song, "Jesus Loves Me." But I can remember, Brother Steve, as the little children, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel." No! Them little kids say, "No! I'm going to let it shine." I'll ask you a personal question tonight. How many believes our light stays under the bushel? way too much. I tell you what, God could take what I'm preaching tonight and start a revival in this community. We let God speak to our heart and say, God, you done something for me. And the whole world needs to see it. Let me be a reflection of your love. Jesus said, without me, I'll never look at that verse the same again. You can do nothing. Without love, you can do nothing. I'm just glad you come.